Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, felt so blessed to be in your homes each week to reveal God's mercy, grace, and everlasting love. It is our hope you will do the same by inviting others to worship with us. Today, we will be completing our study of four parables. We hope they have been uplifting for you. Thank you for your ongoing comments to us. We are so blessed to read them each day. From a viewer in Iowa, it reads, "I faithfully listen to Pastor Salem each week. His message is simple because it is truth from God's Word." Today, Dad's message on the prodigal son speaks to the good news of the gospel and coming home to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a wonderful service today. We're going to be thinking about the prodigal son. And we all know that story, and it has so many wonderful lessons in it. Call your friends, tell them we're going to talk about a boy that went astray and he came back home. And it ends well, and we all like stories that end well. We're looking at Psalm chapter 34 today, where the psalmist writes, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all my fears." Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And when we flee to him, his arms are always wide open for us. And he takes away our fears, and it takes away our doubts and whatever might be plaguing us. And we can give them all to you. We just love you, Jesus. And we just pray for everyone who is joining us in worship today as we gather around the throne of God, that we'll look at this wonderful, wonderful Savior and put our trust in him. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Melissa's going to sing for us, "Fill My Cup, Lord." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole." There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. It up and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Well, thank you, Melissa. God bless you. We always love to have Melissa minister to us in music. And, you know, that's what the psalmist said. He makes my cup runneth over. And when we have Jesus, we have everything. Our cup runneth over. Well, he is our all in all. And when we have Jesus, we don't need anything else. And so maybe today you don't know what we're talking about. Maybe you've never opened your heart to Jesus. And you can do it right during our service. You can just pray a little prayer and say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm not happy. I know there's something missing in my life. I know I got sins that bother me all the time. And dear Jesus, just please forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and wash away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. See, repentance means a change of mind, means you're going to follow Jesus and then thank him. Then tell somebody what you did. You could do that, and then I'll give you an address later on. We'll send you literature. You just need Jesus. Well, we want to thank you for all of the letters, and we get so many nice letters. And I got a letter the other day that just made my blood run cold. They thought, wondered if we couldn't have more letters and less sermon. And I put my foot down on that, believe me, brother. But we're going to give some time to letters because they are really good. And our first one today is from Havana, Cuba. And this dear brother writes, Thanks a lot for the two booklets, God at the Center and Knowing Christ. I first read one. However, I had to stop reading the second one on page 20, for I don't have a Bible in English in order to study and memorize the verses. If possible, I would like to have the Holy Bible in the English edition to begin the studies. I know it'll help me in my spiritual growth. And then he said, I wish I could be considered by you as a member of your congregation, no matter how far we live from each other. I thank you. I think our mutual compromise with Christ can make for distances closer. You can be sure my wife and I will join in your praying to the Lord here for us in Havana. Well, we already sent this Bible to this dear brother, and then he wants to know about being a part of our congregation. And of course, we'd be happy to consider you a part of our congregation. But what you need to do is look for a church where they preach the Bible. Now, just not every church is going to work. So you see, are they preaching the Bible? Are they teaching about Jesus? And then you can get in there and you'll get help and you'll help them. But you can be a part of us too. As a matter of fact, you are a part of us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, a part of the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Well, here's one from Pontiac, Illinois. I love your service on Sunday mornings, even though I'm a Catholic hermit living on monastery grounds. You preach the Bible and love for Jesus, and that works for me. Wishing you much joy, love, laughter, grace, and hope. Well, that's it. If you have Jesus, I don't care where you're at or what church you're in. If you've received Jesus, we're a part of the body of Christ. We're part of the invisible church. And here's a dear sister that writes in and loves the Lord, and we love the Lord, and we're going to see each other in heaven. Won't that be something? Here's one that I like, and it's a little one. It's just one sentence, and it's from Ree Heights, South Dakota. And I'm going to tell you why it's one sentence after I read the sentence. And this is what he writes. I listen to you every Sunday. I'm a sheep herder. Now, you know why that's all he can write? If he turns his head, those sheep will run away. He has to be with those things because sheep will stray. They're dumb. And when they're lost, they're lost. And they'll never come home. Bees will come home to roost. Horses will come home. Cows will come home. Cats will come home. Everybody comes home. Not a sheep. All we like sheep gone astray. So I just love the sheep herders. I used to be a sheep herder, and then I kind of drifted away and became a preacher. But it's just whatever, just know the Lord. That's all that counts. Here's Isabella, California. My faith is slowly coming back after years of a long and painful illness. I realize God holds my hand, and the more I want to give up, the stronger he holds on to me. Thank you for reminding me how much he loves me just as I am. But the important thing is, he never lets go. And you know, there's hope. That's why I love to preach. I love the gospel, because there's hope. I don't care who you are or what you've done. There's hope. There's another chance. There's a new day. You can turn the chapter. You just come to Jesus and be born again. But once you pass that death's door, there'll be no change, no coming back, no change. Have to do it now. So think about it during our service. I'll give the invitation how to pray in just a few minutes again. Here's Minneapolis, Minnesota. I do read my Bible every day, and the one question I also have is, if God forgives my sins as I ask him to, will we still be reminded of them at Judgment Day? I've always been confused about this. I hated what I did and want very much to forgive and forget, but at weakness times, the devil wants to remind me of them. You bet. That's what the devil does. He reminds us of the past. You know why? Because we can't do anything about the past. And so he beats us over the head over that. Well, let me tell you the good news. The good news is that God tells us in the book of Hebrews, he says that their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And when you accept Jesus Christ, you'll never stand before the great white throne. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ for works done. But you'll never have to face a single sin you ever committed. And I think of my past. There's things in my past I'm not proud of. And I just know that God is forgiven. Wouldn't you like to know what some of my sins were in the past? Ha, you'll never find out. You'll never know. So there. And it's under the blood. And that's what God tells us. Through Isaiah, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you know, that wool means that when they shear the sheep, On the outside of that fleece of wool is just all dirty and matted and all. But next to the body where it's shearing off, it's just as beautiful and white and clean as can be. And that's what Isaiah's talking about. No, you don't need to worry about past sins. And when the devil comes, just tell him that. Give him that wonderful verse, Hebrews 10, verse 17. Hamilton, Montana. All listen to this. I just love this. Says, hi, I just wanted to say thanks for my book you gave me. I'm starting to read it. It's good so far. It is teaching me a lot. If you want to know, I'm 8 years old and love God and Jesus. My papa, Glenn, is also teaching me a lot about God and Jesus too. God and Jesus are awesome. I love my book a lot. Thanks again. Love, Macy. Hope you write back soon. Now, this little gal, she's accepted the Lord, and you know what? She doesn't call it the Christian Worship Hour. You know what she calls it? She calls it God's show. God's show. Well, that's just fine. And we hear from the children, and I'm going to tell you, I preach so that the children can understand. And I figure if the children can understand, everybody can understand. So let's not get fancy. Let's just talk where people are. And I don't care how old you are, you can accept Jesus when you're 8 years old. My daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5. And now she's living for the Lord, and she's a grandma living for Jesus. Here's a letter from Melbourne, Australia. Greetings to you in Jesus' precious name. And this is a second letter now. They wrote in, I wrote about accepting the Lord and sent literature. And says, I was happy to receive the June newsletter, A New Song. Have read all the articles about true love, and yes, the passages in the Bible tell us the truth. Praise God for all his mercies to us. I'd like you to keep me and my family in your prayers for God to bring peace, as I feel there is a dark force trying to tear my family apart, which is making me very unwell with this worry. I know that God in his mercy will bring victory in this situation. I ask you to pray for our well-being and thank you for your prayers. Thanking you, yours in Jesus. So here, now this dear lady, and she says, now she gave us a new address. She's moving to India, but she, Jesus will go with her there. But we need to pray for her family. So all around the world, all of us we're praying for this dear lady in Melbourne, Australia. Well, let's see. I got a little more time. Here's Thompson Falls, Montana. Oh, listen to this. If any of you are dozing off, come back to life. Here, listen to this. Thank you for your phone call on April 19th, 2015, when through you I accepted the Lord into my heart and became a born-again Christian, and that has been on one of the greatest days of my life. I'm very active in my church and never miss your program on Sunday before I go to church. Thank you again for all your help and literature over the last 14 months. God bless you and all your wonderful staff for everything you do for all of us. Now, let me tell you about this man. He wrote a letter, and he thought that he was beyond help. I wrote to him and talked to him, and we visited for a while, and I told him about salvation. And over the phone, he prayed to accept Jesus. And he was born again. And you know, maybe, and I got to thinking, and I did that with another man, helped him to pray over the phone. Didn't know exactly, didn't was too sure. And so I helped him as he prayed. And so if you're having trouble accepting Jesus, you have any questions, you just call us and we'll pray with you. And all you have to do is have a simple prayer asking Jesus. And he said he wants to come into your heart. You don't have to beg him to. He wants to come into your heart, but he'll never come in unless you ask him in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, you have to open the door. So I hope during this service that you'll do that. We'll give the way of salvation in just a few minutes. One more letter I want to share. Watertown, South Dakota. You have helped the Lord get many more people to get into heaven through salvation. I thank you for helping to save my husband with your message on TV. The Lord has touched his heart and made him a good and thankful man. God bless you. Now, you know, I want to be very careful and tell you that, you know, all I'm doing is bringing the word. I'm not saving anybody, but I'm bringing the word. And then the Holy Spirit takes the word and applies it to your heart. And the Holy Spirit talks to you, and that's why you get under conviction. And that's why you want to accept Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And, you know, a parrot could do what I'm doing. It's the word of God is where the power is. And so you just turn to Jesus. And all you need to do is just say, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to admit it, to confess it. I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and save me. And you promise to make him the Lord of your life. Promise to follow him and thank him and tell somebody. That's it. Well, if you'd like to write to us, we love your letters. And all of these folks that are accepting Jesus, we send them literature. And people that maybe are depressed or some of us, we wrote to somebody just a few days ago, a drug addict. And we have a special little folder we send just for drug addicts or addiction to anything. Could be alcohol, tobacco, could be pornography, could be anything. And so you write to us and we'll help you. And I'll tell you what you do. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And if you want to send a gift, we appreciate it because we have to pay our way like anybody else. And you know, James tells us, God tells us in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. So if we don't tell you we have a need, you probably figure, oh, they got plenty of money. Maybe I'll write and get some from them. Well, we're poor as a church mouse. Everything we get, we put into this television and the shortwave radio around the world. So we need your help. And so what you need to do is say, now, dear Lord Jesus, is that kind of a program you want me to follow? Are you preaching the word? And then you ask him, and if God says, yes, I want you to support it, then you ask him how much. And then you say, that much? And you say, yeah, that much. I don't know what he'll say to you, but you can just do that. And here's something else. Anywhere in the world you can send a gift, and we'll get it in American money. You just get on your little old computer, and you put on donate. And under donate, it'll say PayPal. And then you write in whatever you want, and you can put your currency, and we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our bills. But wherever you are, we hope that you'll write to us, and we hope you'll support us, because that's our only, we are not underwritten by any church or denomination or corporation. It's just the people of God, and that's enough. That's all we need. And when the Lord is done with our ministry, he'll just turn the water off, and the money won't come, and we'll close up, and we'll go fishing. Been wanting to do that for a long time anyway. So you write to us. And one other thing I want to mention is we have a little Bible study called The New Song. And every week, every month, we have a new Bible study. And we'll send that free and postpaid. And also in that, you'll have excerpts from other letters. It's just a wonderful little paper. We really ought to charge for it, but we're good-hearted. And we're good-hearted all the way to bankruptcy, but we'll send it to you free and postpaid if you just write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. So now I'm going to pray, then Jan's going to play, and you're going to pay, and everybody's going to be happy. And if you don't pay anything, we love you anyway. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who supported us for almost 40 years. Thank you for each one. Some of them are with you in heaven now. Need some new people to step in. Thank you for all who help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 15, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 15, beginning in the 11th verse. And Jesus gives the story of the prodigal son here. And then in our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church in Somalia. Every month we pray for one of the countries, and this day it'll be Somalia. And that means that all over the world, there's a focus on that one Somalia. Just think of it. The whole world praying for one country, and the believers in that country will say, oh, God, thank you for my brothers and sisters all over the world, and they'll feel strength and they'll get power. But we're beginning with the 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his stomach with husks, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. Heavenly Father, thank you for the parables that Jesus gave and how they explain so beautifully the wonderful gospel. And we just thank you for this story, this prodigal son, how that we can preach today and say, no matter if you may be in that far-off country, no matter how dirty and filthy and wicked you might be, you can come to Jesus, and Jesus will receive you. The Heavenly Father will receive you, and he'll cleanse you, and he'll make you pure again, and you'll be his. You have fellowship with the Father. So I pray that there'll be many, many who've drifted away that'll come back today, and many who have never known you who will come to know Jesus. And now, Jesus, in heaven, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Somalia. And we know that there's some have lost loved ones, put to death because they just absolutely would not deny Jesus. And some of them in Arabic will say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And lose their head, and their mother's there, and their wife is there, and the children are there. And, oh, God, help them to know that you are there, too. And though it may feel like they're forsaken, you never forsake us. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you're always there. And so help them to know that you are there, and you're going to have the last word. And someday you're going to see those loved ones wearing the martyr's crown. And won't that be beautiful? And so just bless each one, Lord, and just give them courage and hope. And help us, dear Heavenly Father, who are not having any persecution at all to speak of. Help us to stand and to witness and let the whole world know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm proud of it, like St. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our company. So bless our Somalian brothers and sisters. Now bless us in this service, Lord, that this is your service. And we pray that you'll speak to hearts all over the world so many will come back home and many will be born again for the first time. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to song. He's got a beautiful song, The Lord's Prayer. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
Amen. God bless you, Hank. You're always a blessing when you sing and bring the wonderful message and song. Hank's been with us since we started, almost 40 years, and he just keeps on singing. I think, oh, he's going to wear out one of these days, but, oh, he's always there. So, you know, I'm going to be here, and Hank will be here, and we'll be here as long as the Lord wants us. When he says stop, well, we'll probably stop. Well, we're going to look at the prodigal son today. This is we're completing our study of four parables. And this prodigal son, prodigal simply means wasteful. And in this parable that Jesus gives, we see how wasteful this young man was. You could call this story the parable of the loving father, really. Or you could say, because it's the picture of the father, how much he loved his son. Or you could say, it's the story of unconditional love, the kind of God love that comes only from the Father in heaven. And so we'll look at this story. The story begins with the father, and he has two sons, and the inheritance they have coming. According to Jewish law, the eldest son received twice as much as the other sons, Deuteronomy 21, verse 17. And according to Jewish custom, it was perfectly legal for a son to request his share of the inheritance whenever he wished. It was not a kind thing to do. It was not a reverent thing to do. It was a mark of selfishness and callousness. It was as if the young man was saying, well, Dad, I can't wait till you die, and I'd like to have the money now. Or worse, he's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. So it wasn't the nicest thing, but it was acceptable. And according to Jewish custom, he could take his inheritance early. And so this young man comes, and he wants to take his inheritance. And the reason that he does it is because he's selfish and he's proud. And he's going to have a great time with his money. So he's given the money, and he goes to a far-off country. And he's squandered his fortune, but that didn't make him a prodigal. The living with the harlots didn't make him a prodigal. The tending of the pigs and eating with the pig pen didn't make him prodigal. He was a prodigal the moment he disobeyed the father and left his father and turned against his father. Sometimes people think that the young man was a prodigal because of certain types of sins, but he was a prodigal because he sinned against God and he didn't respect his father and obey his father, because his father would have kept him there, but he could do it if he wanted to, and he took the money and went. It's the same story you have in Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was not the sin of wild drinking parties that put them out of the garden. It wasn't that he had riotous living. It wasn't that he committed adultery in the Garden of Eden. That wasn't the reason he was put out. There's a little story that goes, and Eve says to Adam, is there another woman in your life? And he said, who else? Only one woman. He can't, you know, if there he is. And so it wasn't these things that caused him to be a prodigal. It was he disobeyed the Heavenly Father. Adam disobeyed God. That's the thing that made him the sinner. And so he sins, and he sins with a high hand. And so I think I've seen it 100 times and over. Here's a young man taking his inheritance, going out and living it up. I've seen it so many times over the years. Young people will get away from home, and they live like the dogs. They don't all do it, because there are those young people that know Jesus Christ and are dedicated to him. And when they leave home and when they get out into the world, they stand true as an arrow for the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith that they've been taught. But that doesn't always happen. And in this case, it didn't happen. This young man took his things, and he wants to be out from under his father's influence. He doesn't want his dad to tell him anything. If that isn't the American way, don't you tell me anything. Don't you tell me what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to do as I wish. This bird here in this psalm, in this parable, that's exactly what he's doing. He wants to be off from under his father's will. He wants to be footloose and fancy free. He wants to be his own boss. He wants to be his own quarterback, call all his own calls, do all his own plays. He wants to be free and independent. And so the sinner today, he wants to be, has no influence from God the Father. He doesn't want God or the Bible to tell him anything, so he hates the Bible. And if he can destroy the Bible and get rid of God, then there isn't anybody to tell him right from wrong, and he can go all the way to hell that way. And so he wants to be his own boss, his own leader. He wants to be free. He wants to be independent. He doesn't want any strings attached. Doesn't want any limitations. So what does he do? What did the young man find? What did the prodigal find? Did he find liberty? Did he find freedom? No, he found bondage of the worst kind. He wasn't free after all. He was bound by sin. It was hell on earth. It always is when you're out of sight of the will of God and you defy God and his teachings. So it is. The father supplies the son with substance and the prodigal takes it from his father. And so it is today. The Heavenly Father gives us so many things, and what do we do with it? Are we like this young man who spends it on himself, or do we use these things that God has given us, of Heavenly Father's given us, the things that where we could serve God and glorify God and help our brothers and sisters and help the church that's dying, that's dying for Jesus? So we need to be very careful that we use all the good things, because I'm going to tell you, every good thing you have in your life, every good thing, every perfect thing comes from the Father of lights. It never came from the devil. The devil never gave us a good thing at all. All he did is destroy. And so the precious, take this precious inheritance this young man takes, it's squandered. And he spends it on so-called friends. And these old friends are just like a bunch of Vulcans hanging around a carcass. That's what they are. And he spends all of his money. And then all of a sudden, he's looking for he is out of his money. And then he's gone. They're looking for another carcass. That's what they're doing. And he's destitute. You know, that Adam's sin was disobedience, pure and simple. God said, don't eat of that tree. And Adam says, I'm going to eat of that tree. And I'm going to say, have you ever been disobedient to God? Have you ever broken any of his words? That was one of the prodigal sins. And that was he disregarded the law of God, the law of his father. And when we go against God's will and do his will, we are just as big a sinner as this prodigal son ever thought of being. Even worse, because he sinned against his father and we sin against God. God has given us so much, and yet we squander it on ourselves and we use it for ourselves. We hug it to ourselves instead of using it to the glory of God. We're in the same boat, the same thing. And so the younger son displays a rebellion against his father. He flees to his other country, and he flees outside the father's authority, and he's free as a bird in the breeze. And then he can go and he can do as he wants. So the father suffers the loss of his son. He takes his things and he goes. And yet this young man is going to discover that this wonderful dream that he has of living just for self and spending everything on self and being free as a bird or doing anything I want to do and not have God tell me anything. It's a mirage. It's a dream. It's not reality. And this young man found it out. When a son is lost, so this man goes. And I just want to say this in passing. I'm a father and I have children. I have 4 children, love Jesus. They're the pride of my life. They're the joy of my life. I thank God for them and I pray for them every day of the year. And here's this. So when a son suffers or a child suffers, who suffers the most? The parent, the father. And so this father suffers the most. And so God suffers the most when we turn our back on him and we live for ourselves, when we do our own thing and we rule God out of our life and we don't do the thing he wants us to do. And oh, we need to come back to God. So look at this son for a moment. Here he is now. He has his money. He's proud. He's headstrong. He's arrogant. And although he could find freedom and liberty, far from a father. He just can't wait to get there. But when he got there, people are thinking that if I could get away from God, I would be happy. If I didn't have the rules of God to be plague me all the time, I'd be happy. So he goes into the far country. He goes away from God. He goes away from Christ. He goes away from the church, and he lives in sin, and he finds there's nothing is nothing. And that's what the prodigal found. He found there was nothing. Then Jesus said, when he spent all, there arose a great famine in the country. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there was a famine in the country. It means that this boy was destitute. He didn't have a nickel to his name. He was bone dry in the pocketbook. When he left home, it bulged out that big old pocketbook. He could hardly sit down on it without being uncomfortable. He had money, but now he's broke. It's so thin, it does nothing there. Nothing but his old hind bones that he sits on. And he doesn't have anything to eat. And the stubborn jerk refused to go home. No, what does he do? He got a job and herding hogs. A Jewish boy herding hogs. Can you imagine it? That was his job. But he didn't get paid right away. And in the between the time he worked and the time he paid, he's starving to death. And so what does Jesus say? He ate the husks that even the hogs wouldn't eat. He chewed on the husks all smeared up with slobbers and snot off of those old pigs. And that's what he had. He had that for breakfast. And he had that for dinner. And he had that for supper. And he had that for the midnight snack. And pretty soon, he just says, ugh. And then we think the beautiful thing in this verse. This is what Jesus said. He came to himself. He came to his senses. He's starving. He's stinking. He smells like a pig. You can't tell him from a pig. He's all smeared up and eating all of their stuff, walling around with them. And he came to himself. And oh my God, it's a glorious thing when a man comes to himself and sees that I can never get to heaven. I can never be with God in my own righteousness. It's all like filthy rags. I have to have Jesus Christ. This poor man. It took a lot of things for him to come to his senses, but he came to himself. That means he repented. And that's what we have to have. Repentance means a change of mind. And it almost killed him in the process, but he did change his mind. He repented. I've seen that so many times in my ministry. A child of God wanders off into sin. They live the ways of the world. They go downhill, slowly at first. And then once you start it, it's as slick as a whistle. And they go deep into sin. They lose all they have. Sometimes they lose their family. Sometimes they lose their business. Sometimes they lose their health. And broken and bleeding like the prodigal, I've seen them come back to God. They came to themselves. They came to themselves. And God is waiting, waiting all the time. And this wonderful father was looking for his son. And he's looking for his son every day. He's sitting on that front porch. He's looking down the road. And all of a sudden, his son is coming. And God has been watching over that boy. And God has been helping him and taking care of him. But he's letting him suffer. But he doesn't lose his life. And nobody kills him. And there's a songwriter, Phil Johnson. And it has a wonderful, beautiful song. And it's a way, and it tells about how God treats us. It's like this father, he's waiting for the prodigal son. When his son comes, he opens his arms and takes him in. He's thrilled to death to have that boy. That's the way the Heavenly Father is. And he's waiting for you. And maybe you accepted Jesus some time ago, years ago. Then you got mad about something or something didn't work right or you drifted into sin. God knows what. The devil's got a million things to do. And now you're coming to your senses today and I'm going to come back. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to the Father in heaven. Phil Johnson has a beautiful song about God's love and care. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon me. He says, sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord are around me. He keeps me safe and secure. And then the chorus. And although there were times I stepped out of his will, I never stepped out of his care. And God has his eye on him. And maybe you're today, you've drifted into sin, way off into sin. And you think God will have nothing to do with me. He won't have anything to do with me, but God has been watching all the time for you to come back home. And maybe you've never accepted the Lord, and God is looking for you to come to Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but it all should turn to repentance. And so this boy turns, and he comes home to his father. And while he's a long ways off, listen to this. Here the father saw him and ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the Greek means kissed him much. We would probably say smothered him with kisses. Now that is a picture of God today. And this it's a picture of an old man running to a besmirched boy that's deep in sin and smells like a pig. And he's taking him in and he's cleaning him up and helping him out. That's the God. You're never, sometimes I get people, I had one lady tell me, if you ever baptized me, the water would turn black. God will never take my sin. Well, baptism never washed away sin. The blood of Jesus Christ washed away sin, see. But I don't care what your sin is. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, and God saved me. If he can save the chief, he can save you. And you have to open your heart to Jesus. You have to do like the prodigal. You got to come back. You got to come to God and ask for forgiveness. And so he smothered him with kisses. And here he is. The Pharisees are saying, well, look at, he's been with the pigs. Look what he's been doing. You shouldn't touch him. And God puts his arms around him. The Father puts an arms around him and takes him to himself. We would have probably say, well, let him, the bum, clean up. Let him take a bath and wash off some of that scum. He still smells like a pig. Get out some Lysol. Scrub him clean. Get some deodorant. Get some clean clothes. Put him on probation for a while. Let's see what we can do. Let him get a physical and maybe see if he's got some disease. And so what does this father do? He takes him and puts his arms around him, the stink and all, and draws him to his bosom. And that's what God does with all of our sins. He doesn't say, clean up and come to me. He says, come as you are. Because if you're going to clean up before you come to Jesus, you'll never get there. And so you come, and he'll put his arms around you, and he'll take away your sin. And this father is saying, God is saying, let me hold him. Let me embrace him. Let me draw him closer to myself. Let me love him. Let me hug him. Let me clean him up later. And there was an old pastor who used to tell him, don't get yourself cleaned up to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and he'll help you get your life cleaned up, your habits and all of the rest of it. One old pastor said, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. And so you come to Jesus, and he'll take away your sins, and then he'll help you overcome your sins, and you'll never be perfect. I ran into a guy, he said he'd been perfect for 3 days. I almost fell over, the poor thing. He didn't know what sin was about. You have one thought astray, or you fail to do one thing. We sin all the time. But God tells us, and Jesus tells us in 1 John 1:9, God tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Got a letter just not long ago, and this lady says, I've had some terrible sins, and I try not to do it, and I try to get cleaned up, but I can't do it, and I fall back. How many times will God forgive me? Well, I said, you know what he told Peter? Peter asked that, how many times do you forgive? And Jesus says 70 times 7. In other words, there's no end to the grace of God. And if you fail 1,000 times and you ask forgiveness 1,000 times, you'll get it. Because he wants you to come. And then he'll help you get straightened out. He'll embrace you and he'll keep you and he'll get your heart and he'll touch your heart. He'll touch your mind. He'll touch your attitude. Take your lifestyle. I don't know what it is. And it doesn't matter. You come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus, this wonderful Jesus. And that's what David did. And he came to Jesus. He came to God and through faith. And later on, he wrote about all of his sins in the 103rd Psalm. This is what David said. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 14. That's God. And he's talking to you, and you need to come. And when this man came, oh, my dear soul, he found everything he'd been looking for. He wanted to find clothes and all of the rest. He found the best robe. When he came home, he got shoes on his feet. He had a beautiful ring on his finger. He had the fatted calf. He had merriment. He had singing. He had friends. He had love. He had restoration. He had it all when he came back to the Lord Jesus, to this Father. And that's what happens when you come to God. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and come home. And so today I hope that you'll come home. Come home to the Lord Jesus Christ, because his arms are wide open to you. And I don't care where you've been, what you've done, he'll take you back. And maybe you've never come to the Lord, but you want to come and be with him. I read about a woman who was dying of AIDS. She asked her pastor to come and comfort her. And she was suffering from both physically and emotionally. Everything to her seemed hopeless. I'm lost, she told the pastor. I've ruined my life and every life around me. I'm going to hell and there's no hope for me. And then the pastor saw a framed picture of a pretty girl on the dresser. And he asked her and he said, who's that? The woman brightened. She says, she's my daughter, the only beautiful thing I have in my life. Would you help her if she's in trouble, said the pastor, no matter how many mistakes she's made? Would you forgive her if she asked you to? Would you still love her no matter what? And the woman said, of course I would. Why should you ask such a question as that? And the pastor said, because I wanted you to understand that God has a picture of you on his dresser too. And he wants you to come home. And that's what God is saying. If you drifted away, if you've never known him, he wants you to come home. And you say, I want to come home, but I don't know how. I'll tell you how you do it. You just come to Jesus and you talk to him. And you just, it's a prayer, but you just talk to him. Don't forget the thee and the thous and don't get fancy. And just say, oh, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I ask you just come into my heart and take away my sins. I did that when I was 10 years old. And God took away every sin I ever had and covered every sin I'll ever commit until I die, until I get to glory. And say, you, Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sin. And then you tell him, I love you, Lord, and I'll follow you the best I can. And I thank you. You do that right now. Pray that while I'm praying it with you. And open, then Christ will come into your heart. And he says that he stands at the door and knocks, and he'll come in. And oh, it's a wonderful thing. And I'm not, you may feel happy and you may not feel anything, because this isn't a feeling thing. This is a covenant you're making with God. And you may have feelings and you may not. But eventually, as you walk with the Lord, you'll have that peace and that joy. And you just know the Lord Jesus is with me, helping me. I'm praying that you prayed that prayer, asking Jesus in your own words. And I talked to one man, he made that prayer and he didn't say amen. He didn't know he's supposed to say amen. He said goodbye. Well, that's just fine. God knows what you mean. He looks at the heart. So you pray. Now, if you've done that, you write to us. And we'll send you literature to get you started in the Christian life. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get a hold of us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You write to us and just tell us you've accepted the Lord. We'll send you literature. And then we can pray for you. We'll have your name. We'll pray for you. And you can get started in the Christian life. If you want to, you won't get the new song. And that's a beautiful little booklet, a little paper we put out. It has a Bible study on it. It has excerpts from letters of people that have written. We have the sermon topics. We have the sermon titles. We have the scriptures for each of the sermons. You can look ahead. You can read ahead and read, see if I'm staying or straying away and staying with the Bible. If I'm not, why write and tell me and send a gift while you do it. And we just go our way rejoicing. So now I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all of the people that open their heart to you. I can just see them all over the world making the prayer of the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And I pray you to bless them. And Lord, I pray for those who are sick and those who are lonely and those who are shut-ins. And Lord, we think of the shut-ins all the time. They can't get out. They can't get around. They're in a bed. They're in a wheelchair, a walker or something. But just help them know maybe they're lonely, Lord. Help them to know that you are there and underneath of the everlasting arms. You'll never leave them and you'll never forsake them because they are a part of you. They're your child. Through faith, they're your child. And you say, I don't know why things are happening, dear Lord. And then you look at Romans 8:28, and it says everything that happens in our life happens for good. And then thank him and go through the fire like Job did, or like brothers and sisters in different parts of the world dying for Jesus. Be willing to do that. God bless you, everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. We just want to thank you for the time we've had together. Thank you for letting us into your home. Thank you for making the decision you made. And I hope that you'll write to us, and I hope you pray for us. Hope you'll help us in this work. We need your help. We need your prayers. And if you can't, don't have any money, pray. Pray that God will help us. And then next week, we're going to start, and we're going to look at a story about Joseph. We're going to have 4 sermons about Joseph, and you're going to just love them. I won't preach them very good, but you love the story, and how can you beat that? So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.